I felt today God's heart is for us to know the way that he loves, because he loves differently from the way that we love, and to begin to love others that way. So we are exploring grace and empowerment, that kingdom cultural value, one of the things that we want to be part of who we are. And as we've kind of tried to unpack what that means, there's two aspects of grace that I really want to highlight today. We're deeply loved and accepted in Jesus, and we are powerful to grow and change. So there's the sense of God's love and acceptance that's in the package of grace, and there's also the sense of his power that is in the package of grace. And both of those aspects. So what is grace? You might have heard the term, you know, God's riches at Christ's expense. You might have heard some of those explanations. I actually believe there's two key aspects of grace. One is that it's unearned, undeserved loving kindness to us through Christ, and it's also his empowering presence through the Holy Spirit. And I think it's really significant that today is Pentecost Sunday, and we're going to be thinking and intentionally opening ourselves up to the presence of God, the empowering presence of God through Holy Spirit. So I'm going to pray for me. I don't know if you want to pray for you, but if you do, you can put your hand on your own heart, because if nothing changes, then nothing changes. I don't want to go from being with you, from being with Jesus, from being with his word and have the same life that I had before. So, Jesus, we're inviting you to meet us at the deep place of our heart and to change us, because that's what your grace is for. Amen. Sometimes we know things, but we don't really know them. And I think knowing about the love of God is one of those things we sometimes know about, but we don't always know deeply. So I'm just going to go through a couple of scriptures as the foundation for being loved in an unearned, undeserved way. And then I want to do a little practical sort of exercise that I feel like God's given me. Okay, if I say to you, does God love you? Most of us would say yes. Some of us might think, oh, maybe on my good days he might love me if I haven't been too bad. Here's some of the reasons we believe from Scripture that God loves us. This is how God loved the world. He gave his one and only Son, so that whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. That's how we know that we're loved. These are New Living Translation, in case it's a little bit different from what you've learnt or remember. This is a beautiful one from Romans 5. When we were utterly helpless, Christ came at just the right time and died for us sinners. Now, most people would not be willing to die for an upright person, though perhaps someone might be willing to die for a person who's especially good. Anyone especially good here? No. Okay. But God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. And since we've been made right in God's sight by the blood of Christ, he'll certainly save us from God's condemnation. This is the word of God. Let it go into your heart. Let it go deep. This is life. This is life-giving. Since our friendship with God was restored by the death of his Son while we were still enemies, we'll certainly be saved through the life of his Son. So now we can rejoice in our wonderful new relationship with God, because the Lord Jesus Christ has made us friends with God. Turn to the person next to you and say, friends with God. Friends with God. Friends with God. How extraordinary is that? Friends with God. That's good news. And one more scripture about how we're deeply loved and accepted in Jesus from Ephesians. God, so rich in mercy, and he loved us so much that even though we were dead because of our sins, he gave us life when he raised Christ from the dead. It's only by God's grace that you've been saved. For he raised us from the dead along with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms because we're united with Jesus Christ. So God can point to us in all future ages as examples of the incredible wealth of his and kindness towards us as shown in all he's done for us who are united with Christ. Let's read verse 8 together. God saved you by his grace when you believed, and you can't take credit for this. It's a gift from God. Why? We're deeply loved and accepted in Jesus. We didn't have to earn it. We can't take credit for it. It's given as a gift. Now, we know those scriptures. Some of us have read them for many years. But, you know, it's possible to know stuff but not know it here. It seems straightforward, but often it doesn't get from here to here. I want you to think for a moment. How did you qualify for love as a child? By being good. By doing what was asked of you. You just were loved. Anyone else think about what they believed they needed to do in order to be loved as a child? Doing good? I felt for one of my things was academic achievement. That was one of the things I got rewarded for as a child. Got to do well at school. Anyone else think about what? I'm not saying this is what your parents believed, but what we believed often as children that we needed to do in order to be loved. Many of us had some kind of condition, some kind of earning, some kind of deserving that we felt like we needed to do. Maybe you had to be responsible. Maybe you had to say your prayers. Maybe you had some religious things that you had to do, like prayers or you know, Bible stuff or... Often we bring that into our relationship with God. Often we bring our early experiences of being lovable into our relationship with God. And it's hard to change that. We think we know that God loves us, but do we really? One of the things that I have done in the past is first aid training. Who's done first aid training? Okay, yep. Now, I don't know about you, but when I do first aid training, it kind of goes in and goes out the other side. So I know some stuff about what you should do in certain circumstances. But that's not actually tested until you're in the circumstance, is it? You don't find out whether you know, really know first aid until you're in a situation where you need to use it. And I have discovered that I don't actually know first aid. So please don't come to me if you're bleeding or you've broken something. My husband, on the other hand, has been nursing for gazillion years, been exposed to gazillion experiences where people needed, in emergency situations even, first aid. So what he knows and what I know are incredibly different. Because one is a here knowledge and the other is an experiential knowledge. that comes out under pressure. And I felt like today as I was preparing, I felt like God was saying, what comes out for us under pressure about the love of God? Because that's where we find out whether we actually know that God loves us or we know that God loves us. So here we go. I'm going to do this really challenging thing and put up some under pressure situations. Jesus wasn't afraid to test his disciples. Do you know that? He actually tested his disciples quite a few times because in tests we find out if it's here or here. And I've actually got this on a handout. So if you don't want to have to kind of, you're probably not going to remember it anyway, but there's a handout here if anybody wants to take it after the service. Because I've thought of a few testing situations where we find out, do I actually know the love of God here or do I know it here? And I've just suggested four situations where we can do a little test on ourselves. This is not for shame. This is not for condemnation. This is for diagnostic, you know, hello. Diagnosis is sometimes good, isn't it? So here's some situations. How do we react or respond when we have failure, when we get feedback, when we have future uncertainty or current hardship that we're navigating, or when we're frustrated? What comes out of our heart under those pressures? And here's a few things that I think, if God's love has reached our mind, but it hasn't yet transformed our heart and our behaviour, when we fail, when we sin, when we make mistakes, when we miss the standard that we have set ourselves or someone else has set for us, what happens if God's love hasn't reached our heart is that we end up with shame, we give up, we hate ourselves, we blame somebody. It's their fault that I failed. We do more, try harder, which is the religious thing. We hide or pretend because we have to look good. Don't let anybody know what's really going on. We do comparison. Well, at least I don't sin as badly as that person. That's always a helpful one. We justify ourselves or we make excuses because in failure, we think of, if God's love has only reached our mind and hasn't got hold of our heart, we are so threatened by failure. The idea that we haven't made it, that we're not good enough. And yet, God's inviting us into a place when we can say, yep, I got it wrong. I'm sorry. Where we can receive God's forgiveness easily, where we can forgive ourselves. Man, often we are the last person to forgive. It's ourselves that we're the last person to forgive. We're able to forgive ourselves and we're able to see failure as an opportunity to learn and grow. So it's not a disaster that we have to walk in shame about. It's actually an opportunity for God to grow us. And it's a great opportunity to be humbled. Man, there is nothing to humble us like failure. It's God's perfect tool. Failure, one of the pressures. What about feedback? Oh man, you get a review from work. Somebody tells you how they're experiencing you. You know, uses the I statement. When you do this, I feel this and I need to feel this. So can we, actually, can you change? No. Oh, it's so uncomfortable sometimes to get feedback about how other people are experiencing us. And we feel often like that shame, that defensiveness, or we attack them back. Well, you know, I might do this, but you do that. We feel hopelessness maybe. Oh, I'm just a waste of space. I'm hopeless. I'm always getting things wrong. Or we do, you know, the self-pity. We explain or we justify ourselves. That's what we need to do if God's love hasn't reached our heart. But in that place where God's moving us into, he's inviting us to be able to assess feedback, to work out, yeah, this is actually good feedback. This is good information. I needed to hear that, even though it was really uncomfortable at the time. We genuinely appreciate even hard feedback. We're honest about assessing ourselves, and we want to learn and grow. I love this phrase that we got from BDC Intensive the other week when we were down there. Truth is your friend when you know that you're loved. Truth is your friend when you know that you're loved. We're not afraid of the truth when we know that we're loved. Just a couple of other ones, some future uncertainty or some current hardship. Oh, how often does that go, oh, why me? It's not fair. It's horrible. It's too miserable. Doom and gloom or hopelessness, complaining. Or we're able to say, okay, God, I don't like this, but I can trust you. And we can carry peace and joy even in difficult circumstances or in uncertainty. And the last one is frustration. Oh, why isn't God answering my prayer? Or, you know, why isn't that person changing and I've been praying for them for years? So in frustration, do we do more, try harder? We try and control God by our, you know, praying harder or getting him to owe us because, you know, we've been so faithful. So God, you should pay up. You owe me because I've been so faithful. We get offended when God doesn't respond how we think he should. In that place where our heart is deeply connected with God's love, we can acknowledge honestly, God, I'm really disappointed. I'm really sad. I'm really frustrated. I'm really hurting. But I'm giving that stuff to you and I am trusting you. It's just a few kind of situations that we can say, God, is there an area there that you want to grow so that when I hit the pressure of that, I come from it, I come to that challenge from that place where my heart is truly loved. So that is that aspect of grace, where if we're still trying to work for God's or deserve God's love, we will find ourselves reacting in that first column. But if we know that we know that we know that we're loved, we will find ourselves moving towards that second column. I love that God invites us to an honest assessment of ourselves, because in those places we can acknowledge where we need to be healed, we can acknowledge where we need to grow. And as we grow in our ability to receive the unearned, undeserved love of God, we actually get better at loving other people when they don't deserve it, when they haven't earned it, when they haven't qualified to our standard. We actually end up able to love them way, way better. The second aspect of grace that I just want to touch on this morning is the aspect of God's empowering presence through the Holy Spirit. We're familiar with the passage where Jesus told the disciples to wait in Jerusalem and he said, you will receive what? Power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. The presence of the Holy Spirit is the presence of God's power to do a couple of really, really important things. I want to, I might just go back one and that's it. I want to give you an opportunity to turn to somebody in maybe twos or threes around you and take a moment and thinking about God's power. If you could experience more of God's power, of his enabling power in any area of your life, what area would you like to experience more of God's power in? I've put a couple of examples up there, but you might have some completely other area that you think, man, if I could have a download of God's power to shift something in my life, that's what I would want. So I'm going to give you a couple of minutes, find somebody, You don't have to. Don't. If you feel uncomfortable, you can just sit and think about that yourself. But I really encourage you to take a moment and chat with somebody near you. What would be an area of God's power that you'd like to see increased in your life? Okay, off you go. Okay. Well, the good news is that grace is God's empowering presence through the Holy Spirit. So the gift of the Holy Spirit is the gift of God's power to shift things in our lives. And there's three particular areas of power. There's many aspects of God's power that are kind of part of His grace, but I've just chosen three this morning. One is that we're powerful to grow and change because of God's grace. Another is that we can do what we're not able to do. I love that. And the third is that we have the Holy Spirit's gifts or graces given to us that enable us to serve others. So just quickly through those three areas. The first one is that we're powerful, that we can grow, that we can change, that we can overcome sin, that we can learn to love. In ways that only God can empower us from the inside by His Spirit. So there's a verse here a couple of verses that I'll read to you. This is just one example of the way that God uses His grace in our lives by the Holy Spirit to change us. So Paul's writing to the Romans, don't let sin control the way you live, don't give in to its sinful desires. Don't let any part of your body become an instrument of evil to serve sin. Instead, give yourselves completely to God, for you were dead, but now you have new life. Use your whole body as an instrument to do what is right for the glory of God. Sin is no longer your master, for you no longer live under the requirements of the law. Instead, you live under the freedom of God's grace. I love that. We do not have to live under the mastery of sin. Whether it's a habit, whether it's an addiction, whether it's a mindset, whether it's a lifestyle, in the grace of God, we do not have to live with that as our master. Who would not want the freedom of living free from a life controlling sin or addiction? Or, you know, it's beautiful, it's precious that God's grace sets us free and allows us to grow and change. Sometimes that change doesn't take place overnight. Sometimes it is the process of allowing other people in the body to minister to us, of getting help, of getting specific prayer over things. But the promise is there that we do not have to live with sin as our master. I love that. Second one is that we can do what we can't do. In this passage, we discover that Paul had something, he called it a thorn in his flesh. We don't know whether that was a physical ailment or whether it was a person who was just troubling him and just, no matter how he prayed, he couldn't shift the situation. Anyone ever been in that place where you couldn't shift something? That even though you prayed, even though that you've earnestly sought God about it, well, that was where Paul was. And he says, three different times I begged the Lord to take it away. And each time he said, my grace is all you need. My power works best in weakness. Wow. What sort of grace do you need? What do you have to do that you can't do? Do you have to love somebody who's unlovable? My grace is sufficient for you. Do you have to forgive someone for something that feels so deep and so difficult? If you can't do it, guess what you need? My grace is enough for you. Do you have to stay the course when everybody else is walking away? My grace is sufficient for you. Wow. What do you need? What's God inviting you to do that you can't do? Sometimes it's as practical as get out of bed. Sometimes I need get out of bed grace. My sister used to live in a remote community out west, and she ran a playgroup. And one day one of the ladies from the playgroup whose husband had died asked my sister to take the funeral. And she's not a minister. But because of the relationship, she asked, would she do it? So Gilly rang me up and said, what do I do? So I gave her some resources. And something she said to me just really struck a chord as she finished up the conversation. She said, I need funeral grace. You know, I need grace to do what I can't do. What is it, you know? Maybe you need parenting grace. Maybe you need job seeking grace. Maybe you need finance wisdom grace. What is it that you need that you can't do, that as you say, God, I am weak, I can't do this, God says, my grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made weak, is made perfect in your weakness. I love that grace is the empowering presence of God through the Holy Spirit. And the last one, not only is it the ability to grow and change and overcome sin, it's the ability to do what we can't do. It is that the grace of God gives us gifts, beautiful gifts or graces of the Holy Spirit to do particular things in a supernatural way. In his grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. So if God's given you the ability to prophesy, speak out with as much faith as God's given you. If your gift is serving others, serve them well. If you're a teacher, teach well. If your gift is to encourage others, be encouraging. If it's giving, give generously. If God's given you leadership ability, take the responsibility seriously. And if you have a gift for showing kindness to others, do it gladly. Gifts don't come fully assembled. They're like IKEA. They come in flat packs. The gifts come in seed form, and you get to steward them. You get to practice them. You get to find somebody who's better at it than you are and be mentored by them. You get to be accountable in how you use them. But as you use them, they grow. And that's the privilege of partnering with the Holy Spirit. There's things he will not do without you. And there's things that you can't do without him. But each of us has the opportunity. Each one, the scripture tells us, has a gift. And you and I have been given Holy Spirit so that we will have a gift. So that when people walk into our church family, they see a group of people who are not operating just in their human ability, they're operating in the ability that God has given them, in the grace and the power that God has given. So, we are incredibly privileged that we've been invited into a whole new relationship with God that we don't have to earn, that we can't deserve. And we experience access to his power by the gift of Holy Spirit. How do you get the Holy Spirit? How do you get more of the Holy Spirit? Can't be that simple, can it? Did you say ask? Can't possibly be that. Don't you have to do something special? Don't you have to be really good to deserve the Holy Spirit? Have a look. I love this. There it is. Ask and keep on asking. Seek and keep on seeking. Knock and keep on knocking. For everyone who asks receives. Everyone who seeks finds. And everyone who knocks, the door will be open. You fathers, if your children ask for a fish, do you give them a snake instead? If they ask for an egg, do you give them a scorpion? Of course not. So if you sinful people know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? What if it is that simple? In a moment, we're going to finish our service. You put some music on for us, Sam. Thank you. I wanted to finish our service with a prayer together. Now, again, all things in the kingdom are by invitation. So this is an invitation. I'm going to put up a prayer and I'm going to give you a moment to read it. This is like a prayer that I felt like God was inviting us to pray together as a church family. Just going to give you a moment to read it because I'm hoping that we will speak this out together. Jesus is here today, he's present, and he has his Holy Spirit as a precious gift. The scripture says, keep on being filled with the Holy Spirit, or be being filled with the Holy Spirit. So it's not like we ever arrive. There is an invitation for ongoing relationship. Ongoing acceptance, ongoing empowering in our friendship with Holy Spirit. But the invitation to allow Holy Spirit to have his work and his way in our life requires courage, humility, and purpose. Because sometimes Holy Spirit will be saying something to us that requires a yes. It might be a yes to baptism. It might be a yes to forgiveness of someone. It might be a yes to honestly acknowledging that I know about God's love in my head, but I want to experience it in my heart. Whatever the yes is that God's inviting us into today, this is a moment for us to say, if you'll help me, Jesus, by your grace, if you'll give me the ability to do what I can't do, then I will say yes to you. And one simple yes would be to stand with me and just read this prayer together, as an invitation for God to do that in your heart. So I'm just going to invite you, if you'd like to say yes to God, that we'll just stand and we'll just read this together. You can put your hand on your own heart because it's about getting God's love deeper into our hearts than it's ever been before. You're going to be in your way there. Let's read this together. Heavenly Father, thank you that I don't have to earn or deserve your loving kindness toward me. Thank you for choosing to love me and sending Jesus to die for me while I was still sinful and far from you. Today, I ask you to set me free from pride, fear, shame, and every lie I believe about what I have to do to make you happy with me or to deserve your love. I ask you to break every stronghold of religion or performance and help me to believe that you love and accept me in Jesus just because you are love. Thank you for the gift of Holy Spirit who empowers me to grow and who sets me free so that sin is no longer my master. Thank you for your grace to do what I can't do, loving the way Jesus loves. And thank you for the powerful gifts that you are entrusting to me so that I can grow them to bless others. I welcome you into my life, Holy Spirit, and invite you to fill me afresh today. For the honor of Jesus' name, and so that many may come to experience his love for themselves, I pray. Everybody who agreed said, amen, amen. Take a seat. Thank you for being part of what God's doing. I believe that it's powerful when we invite God to do things like that. And I expect that you will see changes in your lives as you experience his grace and his empowerment in the coming days. If there's some area of your life where you'd like some support, some prayer, some encouragement, and you'd like somebody from a team to pray with you, we will have some people here just available to pray with you specifically. That's what I believe that God's inviting us into. So lean in, listen to God. Maybe he's inviting you to say yes in some areas, which he will give you the grace to do. And maybe there's a person that you get to encourage today, somebody you get to say good morning to, somebody you get to have a word of life for, or maybe you would like some ministry, and we're really happy to do that as well. So thanks for being part of what God's doing here. Really love that we get to do that together. Bless you.